pop out of bed every Wednesday with a hop, a skip, and a hooray. Cause new comics have hit the shelf with so many titles that you can't sell what's good or bad or just okay. Should you buy it now or wait for the trade? The indies you should know about, and where can you find all this out? Well, luckily this podcast has the answers to all that. They call it God Hates Comics, but does it really? Who knows? And if we're being honest, he's outnumbered by the heroes, so I'm pretty sure we got this. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to issue 35 of God Hates Comics. I'm Andrew, as always.
I'm Dusty for now.
I'm Vincent, as usual.
As usual. We apologize for our issues with last week's episode. Definitely wasn't intending anything like that, but the power in my office went out. Apparently it was a loose wire or something.
Wire in the entire building.
Yes,
one loose wire.
Well, apparently that's apparently all it took, and
I believe it's one of those things that sound suspect. Sounds shitty, but it's just like, hey, it happens. All right.
I guess I don't really know, but yeah.
I don't know shit about electricity.
I don't either, but I don't think an entire room would lose power based off a loose wire. But
yeah, no, it actually can.
All right, whatever. But anyway, I hope you guys enjoyed last week's episode.
How many wires are in these walls?
Who knows?
It could be one.
But I hope you guys enjoyed our episode last week with Jacob Simon. And like I said, we're gonna have to have him back to talk about Mad Max in the future.
Dude, holy
okay,
fuck.
So everyone saw Mad Max?
Oh yeah, we all saw Mad Max.
God damn it. Fucking amazing.
I think if I have a daughter, I'm gonna have to name her Furiosa.
Right.
Like I'm not joking when I say I think I enjoyed Mad Max more than Avengers, so that's how much I enjoyed
Them's
Mad Max.
Big words. Strong words.
More than Age of Ultron.
I consider them different beasts.
Yeah.
No. Well, let me clarify that. It's better than Age of Ultron for my money, it hangs tighter together as a narrative than Age of Ultron does.
Well, I think it was very streamlined. I mean, honestly, there's pretty much one storyline going throughout the entire movie.
Oh, yeah.
And it literally drove straight through the middle of it because, like, then, like, 90% of that movie took place. It's like if Fast and the Furious on speed and crack.
Yeah.
Is what Mad Max was.
Which is pretty much what the first Mad Maxes were, anyway.
Yeah. So it was really cool to watch. And also, I learned this today. I didn't know George Miller was the same guy that did both Happy Feet movies.
Yes.
And Babe, Pig in the City.
Yeah.
Really? I did not know about Babe.
Like, Babe, I think. I think he did both those.
I don't know about Babe, but that'll do.
I think he did. It was kind of, no, it was funny because when he was doing the Q&A with, I thought I mentioned he did that last time. We talked about it with Simon. But no, during the Q&A they did after the free screening I saw, he was just like, because they were going to make Mad Max back in like 2001.
Yeah, apparently Heath Ledger was the thing. There's been like a lot of things that...
Well, back in 2001, Mel Gibson was going to do it because he's still
but at some point,
decent
shape. I think it was 2007.
Yeah, sounds about right. But so he was going to do it with Gibson, but then 9/11 happened, the value of the US dollar crashed, they were going to shoot in New Orleans or Australia, so the price... The cost of the money movie just skyrocketed, so they had to cancel it. But he was like, "But when you're a director, you always have several projects lined up. So when one falls through, you just move on to the next one." So that's what I went on, and I made Happy Feet. And I was like, "Cause that's a strange."
That makes the most sense.
And really, really, after watching Mad Max: Fury Road, I just in my head again, I'm just going like, "He could have made Justice League."
Amazing. Yeah. Like, oh my god, that's the first thing I thought too. Was like.
Now, don't get me wrong, but the thing is it's funny because everybody criticized at the time a Justice League movie with no build-up. They were like, well, how can that work? How can that work? And I'm like, I absolutely would have had faith that he could have made it work.
Yeah.
Because for me, I don't believe with DC that you need the obligatory build-up films. Like, I don't think you need it like Marvel did. But
you don't. Everybody knows who these people are.
That's a different story for a different day. But Mad Max Fury Road, if you haven't seen it, you're literally doing a disservice to the planet.
Go watch it.
You need to go watch it.
It's fucking amazing. I like that, like... I mean, what I like is what some people, like a lot of people's complaints are, that like Max is kind of almost secondary.
That's not uncommon in these other movies, though. Like Mad Max and like Beyond Thunderdome, he's just kind of dropped into the middle of an existing society already. It's very similar.
Yeah.
He's kind of just dropped into the middle of this already existing place, and it's not uncommon for Max to almost be a side character in his own movies.
Yeah,
and
what I loved was that he was just. I mean, I don't want to say a non-factor, but it's like he was there. Like it could have been anyone, really.
He fails the sexy lamp test.
Sexy lamp.
You could have replaced him
with a sexy lamp, and it wouldn't matter. Like, literally,
I don't know about that, because he goes and blows up that car. And comes back covered in blood.
Could have blown up a car.
No, not like
not
that.
Not those cars, because I mean, those cars were like. There were some moments where it's like a car fucking like explodes, flips over, guy falls off, and the next thing you know, he's driving another car.
And so much of that movie was practical effects.
Dude, that's the crazy.
So much of it.
I mean, the one thing I didn't like
from Cirque du Soleil to do the stunts, actually.
Well, the pole stuff. Well, no, because he saw street performers doing that, and he talked about this too. And he was like, I saw street performers doing that. And he's like, oh, that'd be cool for Mad Max. And Robert Rodriguez was just like, George Miller is probably the only person in the world who would watch street performers blowing back and forth on sticks in the street and go, I should put that on a car.
That's awesome. Did either of you see it in 3D?
No.
Yes.
Yes?
Yeah.
Okay, so you might, I don't know if you picked up on it, but they were like, the only thing that bothered me was like, it's some of the 3D, like the CGI scenes. It's like they were like really CGI, especially like towards the end when like the car blows up and all the shit's flying towards you.
Yeah.
It's like my first thought was this one would probably badass in 3D. My second thought was, god damn. Like there's like all the CGI is just in that shot. Fucking flying.
I didn't see it in 3D either time, and I still didn't think my experience was dampened.
No, it wasn't dampened, but that was like the one part of the movie where I was just like, huh.
Right. Well, no, I quite it. I liked it, like, a lot. Like, I'm seriously, like, that movie is genuinely one of the best movies I've seen in the last long time. And anytime I see somebody post about how they only thought it was okay, I'm just like, you are literally why the world is dying.
Jeez.
No, for me, I'm just like, I can't, like, for me, the biggest fault that I hear people, there's two things that I hear. One is that Max himself is fairly ineffective for the whole movie, which I don't necessarily agree with.
He's not ineffective at all.
Like he's important.
Yeah.
But like I said, that's not uncommon for this franchise for Max to kind of be secondary to the main narrative. And secondly, it's the other complaint is that they're like the movie never slows down.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, you guys complain. Like for me, I feel the movie does have its low points.
Yeah,
but I don't think that it's this. It's not 2 hours of nonstop.
Where were they? Not it's nighttime. Like that's kind of like the slow point of that movie.
Well, there's a couple of sequences where they're just driving along. They're just doing this. They're just doing that.
It's like they're just like fixing something or they're talking.
Well, like once they find the women, it slows down. They're just talking and all that. I'm like, there's plenty of slow.
But, I mean, it's still not like even if it's not like that slow.
It's really nor is not, it but
so fast that it's just like, oh my god, I can't, like,
but
it's
one of those. But it was funny because the other thing, because, like, Avengers Age of Ultron gets some criticism by people because there's this thing, you guys may have heard of it, it's called the Bechdel test. It's that test that, you know, two women in a movie talk to each other about something that's not a man. And Avengers Age of Ultron actually doesn't pass it. The only scene that's potential is when Natasha and Laura, Clint's wife, are talking about the baby who turns out to be a man.
Well, it's a boy.
But it's still like when you have to quantify that the only scene in the movie where two women talk about something that's not a man is when they're talking about an unborn child. People were saying it was indicative of a bigger problem. But the thing is Mad Max has a scene where 12 women are literally talking to each other about something that's not a man. 12. Like this movie is just like what? What test? Who? And the thing is like I don't even think like people like, you know, the men's rights activists are trying to say, oh, it's pushing the feminist American agenda with this film from an Australian filmmaker.
Men's rights activists?
Like, yeah,
it's a real thing.
Meninists.
Meninists. They basically want to believe that men actually have it bad. It was funny. Yeah, we've only been running things for the past 3, 5, 6. How long have humans been around? That long. And they'll bring up the stuff where it's like, oh well, women win child cases, like, you know, custody cases more often than not. And they bring up really like kind of tangential stuff that really doesn't prove much, but they cling to it because it's all they got.
Because it is true that it happens sometimes.
Sometimes, but not nearly as much as they'd like you to think it does. Yeah. But the thing is, so for me, I'm just like, Mad Max is like everything I wanted in a movie. Like, absolutely. Like, I saw the movie the first time, and like, I couldn't wait to go see it again.
Yeah.
Like, I was pissed I had to wait to see it again. Yeah. And then I was like, my friend Felipe, because we saw it together, like, on Thursday night, he actually posted, he's like, why aren't you all watching Mad Max? And I was like, yeah, that's pretty much where I'm at, guys.
What was I doing on Saturday? Yeah, I ended up watching it Sunday night.
I watched it Saturday night with my sister, Vanessa, and my brother. And they all liked it to varying degrees. And no, my friend, it was funny, my brother was like, mentioned something about Age of Ultron. He mentioned like a quote where it's just like, something isn't beautiful because it lasts, or whatever Ultron says there. And his friend just went, Age of Ultron? And he was like, yeah, man. And he's like, I loved it. What about you? He was like, I've seen it 3 times. And he was like, dude, it might seriously be my favorite movie ever. And my brother went, have you seen Mad Max? And I went, he clearly hasn't. Yeah. Because if he had, then it would be his favorite movie ever instead. But I've
seen Avengers twice, though.
I've only seen Age of Ultron once.
I've seen it twice, but I did fall asleep for bits and pieces of it the second time.
I didn't fall asleep, but there's too many other movies. Like, this weekend, like, I actually do want to see Pitch Perfect 2. I actually think that the
first one's pretty good. My girlfriend wrangled me into watching Pitch Perfect 1 last night, which was actually a good movie.
It's not bad. It's a cute movie.
So
it's funny, because Pitch Perfect 1, like, in its opening weekend, made $5 million. It was a very little movie. This one made $70 million in its opening weekend. It made 14 times.
Jesus Christ.
What the first one did. But
what did Max do?
Max did 44. Okay, so good. not number one, but fairly respectable.
Well,
it
came up against Pitch Perfect 2. The juggernaut of Pitch Perfect 2.
$44 million for the fourth installment in a franchise that hasn't released an installment in almost 30 years.
Yeah.
It's nothing to be ashamed of. I just hope it does well enough for them to make the next one, because George Miller has said there is another script ready to go. So
yeah, he said he hasn't really started working on it apart from the script. Like, no.
Well, the script is done, according to him. Like, apparently Brendan McCarthy, the guy he made it with, and apparently it's called Mad Max: The Wastelands, I think. And
I think so.
So yeah, we'll see.
Well, I think that's a potential title.
Well, the script was apparently called Mad Max Furiosa, and I didn't know if it was more of a movie about Furiosa or not, but I am down for George Miller to go back to that world.
Furiosa, Fury Road, god damn it. Click.
For my money, though, George Miller can go back to that universe as often as he fucking likes.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm really glad that he didn't try to use Mel Gibson again. I mean, because
he said this was not Unforgiven.
Yeah.
This was not a story that, like, hinged on Max being old. And he kind of implied, he's like, you know, if we did come up with some sort of Mad Max story that worked, you know, this is Max's last days or whatever.
Yeah.
He's like, I consider using Mel again. But he's like, but even Mel understood that this is not an old Max movie. Like I said, it's not Unforgiven.
Yeah.
It's not a movie that hinges on the guy being an old guy, so he kind of knew they had to get something else. And apparently Tom Hardy was like an absolute bastard on set. Like, apparently he was super difficult, and like, after he saw the movie, he had to apologize to George Miller, and I'm just like, man. And apparently he signed for like 3 more Max movies.
Yeah.
So like,
apparently what happened was he couldn't see the vision that Miller had. So he was just kind of like, what the fuck's... Oh, whatever. And he was being a dick about it. And then, like, after he finally saw the final cut, because this movie was shot in sequence, he was just like, holy crap, I really have to apologize.
And this movie was shot a while ago, too. Like, I've been seeing shots of Hardy as Mad Max since, like, 2012.
Dude, they've been talking... This movie's been...
Like, I want to say, like, the movie's not only been in production, but the movie's been shooting literally for, like, years. So, like, I was very, very glad that it came out and it lived up to the hype. I was a little concerned that... I wasn't seeing any reviews or buzz for it, and then like, it all came out at once, and it was like, on Rotten Tomatoes, it's literally like a 98%.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
It's like 100. It's like 150 reviews, and like 4 of them are bad.
Yeah.
It's literally insane, and so I'm like really hoping that this is not the last we see, because like, if George Miller wants to do this for the rest of his life, I mean, he's already 70, but if he wants to do this for the rest of his life, I'm absolutely fine with that.
10 years.
Hey, man. Martin Scorsese's getting up there, too. He's getting into his 80s with these guys. And the thing is, like, it's a big, huge action movie, but it doesn't feel like an old guy directed it. It felt like a young man's movie, almost.
Especially, like, some of the shots are shot.
Insane,
I don't know if he sped up the camera or slowed it down, but there's, like, all of a sudden some scenes just kind of like get choppy, but it like makes it more intense because of the, the way things are going.
And that movie was plenty intense too, so
And I love that fucking guitar. Like that,
it's all interesting.
It's the most metal movie ever made.
Yeah.
Well, no, it's funny because people saw that and they criticized it. Like people were just like, well, what's the point? And George Miller actually talked about this too. He's just like, every army has war drums or a bugler or horns or something. Yeah. And he's like, well, when you're driving super loud fucking cars, you need something a little bit louder than that. So we had the drums, but then we had a guy with a freaking guitar because...
with a tower of loudspeakers behind him.
Because he's got to be louder. Because he's got to be louder than the cars. And I was like, that makes an annoying amount of sense.
It's so brilliant. It's so sane and blew your mind. That's what it is.
Pretty much. And so, yeah, we've now been gushing about Mad Max.
You know
like
the guitar
minutes.
Works?
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, it's a real flaming...
It shoots flames and...
Yes, it's amazing.
And Kiss has been doing that for like 20 years, so I can't be that hard to figure out.
They've been driving around the fucking wastelands of Australia.
Psst. Neither were they.
Psst. They still exist.
Oh, I know. They didn't actually shoot it in Australia.
Really?
They shot it somewhere in Africa, I think.
Wastelands of Africa.
Wasteland, there's a lot of those. But no, literally, if you don't see Mad Max, you hate the world and all the good things in it.
Yes, agreed. It's the most metal movie ever made. Go watch it.
It's one of the, it's not even just the most metal movie ever made. This is one of the best action films of the last decade, if not ever. Yeah. Like, I feel that this movie delivers on every single possible level.
This is what 300 would have been like.
If it was good?
If it came out this year. I guess. Like, because, like, 300 was one of those movies where it was like, this is, like, the most insane action movie you're ever going to see. And because it was, like, so different. You know? But that's what I'm getting at. And 300 was good, Sean.
Yeah, 300 was back when everybody thought Zack Snyder had talent. And then Watchmen came out, and everybody was like, alright. And then Sucker Punch came out, and then it was all downhill from
there. And then Batman Superman comes out.
We'll see what happens.
Everybody's back on board.
The best Zack Snyder movie was Dawn of the Dead.
Set that one up.
Huh? It was a remake, so...
Dawn of the Dead?
Yeah.
That was the movie where people were like, oh, hey, this guy's not so fucking bad.
And
then he did 300, which was... I really don't have a huge affinity for it, but I thought it was fine. I really like Watchmen.
Yeah.
Let's say for many people, they still point to like Watchmen as like the anomaly of Zack Snyder's career, where they're like, I don't know how he got this right, but he did. And so it,
it's the one instance where like dark gritty superhero shit worked.
That made sense. It worked well. Yes. Like that opening scene's still fucking amazing.
One like the flash forward through time and everything. Oh yeah, it's a great scene. That's just like great storytelling.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm not the Zack Snyder hater that some are. The thing is with Man of Steel, it wasn't even his direction that bothered me. It was script issues and aesthetic choices, I guess. Yeah. Like, I didn't like the like, honestly, like you said, you showed that footage where the colors were brighter, and like, honestly, if the movie had been like that, I don't think people would have had nearly as much of a problem with it. Simply because it would have felt more bright.
Yeah.
Well, it's
either
just,
way, that's getting into a different...
All right.
That's getting down a different path that we'll come back to, I'm sure. But
I totally agree with.
But no, so Mad Max... could have been Justice League, but it was Mad Max instead, and I guess that's good.
It is good.
It's funny, like, because a few of the people that were going to make that movie have talked about it. Megan Gale actually was going to be Wonder Woman in that movie, and she's in Mad Max, I think. She's one of the wives.
Mm-hmm.
But no, like, Armie Hammer, who was going to be Batman, he was just like, he was talking about it. Somebody asked him, they were just like, how close were you guys to shooting? And he's like, yeah. He's like, I tried on the suit. I had a suit. I don't have any pictures of me in the suit, but I wore a suit. And he was just like, and that was back when he was like 19, like he really wasn't very old.
Wow.
And he was like, I was talking, you know, when you tell your parents you want to be an actor, they're like, hey, and you tell them, oh, hey, I got a part, you know, Social Network or whatever. And they're like, oh yeah, that's cute. But he's like, you got your dad, and he's like, hey dad, I'm going to play Batman. And then your dad's finally like, yeah, you've made it. When you play Batman, that's when your dad finally starts caring. But no, and so it's very strange because the more and more I hear about this Justice League movie, the more and more it sounds like, you know, serious money was spent and then they just kind of pulled the plug. And I'm like...
Writer strike, man.
It was the writer... What,
the writer strike.
Yeah.
It was the writer strike.
The writer strike was... The writer strike was... You could have gotten around it. Lots of movies got around it.
True. But, I mean, it shut down Heroes, Like the second season of Heroes.
Every show got shut down during that season.
Yeah.
Like every show lost Heroes.
But that's what's important here. Okay, is that Heroes had the potential to be fucking amazing, and then it didn't. Anymore.
I don't blame the writer's strike for that. I blame the fact that they didn't have a solid plan after season one.
Season two, they started filming the second, like, and it was a post-apocalyptic world, and like everything changed. Like at the end of season two, he saved the vial, and nothing bad happens, and then you never see that chick that got stuck in the future again.
Yeah.
Okay. If they had like kept going, like if the writer's strike hadn't happened, and they had actually been able to show the three episodes that had already filmed for the second half of season two, it would have been amazing, because like
If they'd already filmed them, they would have shown them.
They canceled it and they scrapped it for the mid-season finale, and they just never showed those episodes.
Oh yeah, because I know Peter goes to the future and he only ends up being there for like 15 minutes.
Yeah.
So like, well, no, yeah. And the thing is, I think, well, my issues with that show were already showing at that point. My point is, I think the writer's strike just showed, the writer's strike exposed the problem that was happening already.
I enjoyed the fuck out of the first half of season two, and then season three came back.
I don't remember the first half.
And I know that it's coming back.
I remember season two in general, because it was only 12 episodes.
Yeah.
Compared to the 24 that season one was.
Season one was great.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, season one was great.
Oh, season one is good.
And by season three, I think I got maybe 3-4 episodes in where I was like, yeah, I'm done.
I'm fucking done. Yeah, season four was just like, what the fuck?
And now they're bringing it back, and you're just kind of like, why?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Some people are excited about it, though.
Well, it's Tim Crane, like, back in control, and so people think that, like, if he's guiding it like he did with season... They feel like it, like, the way people feel about Heroes Reborn is the way a lot of people feel about the Twin Peaks revival.
Yeah.
Because, you see, they announced the Twin Peaks revival, and everybody was like, oh my god, fucking yes.
But then everybody was like,
but wait, didn't season two of Twin Peaks fucking blow? Which is why, after an Emmy award-winning first season, it managed to get canceled during the second season, because it sucked so hard. And everyone was like, yeah, but the reason it started to suck so hard is because Lynch and Frost left the show.
Yeah.
So the fact that they are coming back to finish it, yes, that gets people excited. So the fact that it's Crane coming back and being like, all right, I've got another story to tell, it's got people excited. Which makes sense, because I'm actually excited as fuck for Twin Peaks coming back. And it's very ironic that they've managed to exactly 25 years. The last line in Twin Peaks, I think, is see you in 25 years. And I can assure you this wasn't planned. It just got to the point where they were like, well, why the fuck not? And so yeah, I'm, you know, I know people are saying that, like, for me, like, Mad Max Fury Road is an example that just because something is an adaptation or a continuation of an old idea doesn't mean it can't be a new idea at the same time.
Yeah.
Because, like, I see that a lot of people are like, this age of nostalgia, this age of reboots, i.e. lack of original ideas, and I'm like, Mad Max Fury Road is, like, completely fucking original. Like, it's a fourth installment, but, like, there's nothing about that movie that, like, felt like a rehash.
Yeah. In all honesty, I think they could have just called the movie Fury Road, not had Mad Max in it.
You could have.
And it probably would have gotten the same amount of review / buzz / whatever. Because,
well, like, for him, it was very much a Max Rockatansky movie, so he wanted to make sure that was the title. But that actually was another criticism I heard. But it was that one where it's like, it's called Mad Max, and then Max is kind of a supporting character in his own movie. But like I said, they're kind of, that's not uncommon. It was fucking awesome. So either way, we've now talked about Mad Max for almost 25 minutes now, so let's move on to some fucking comics. So the big news last week that Vince and I got very heated about was the Archie Kickstarter and how he and I disagreed on the fact they were doing it. Vince didn't feel the company was small enough to warrant it. I felt they were not big enough to not warrant it. And it got a little heated. But we're still here and we're fine. But...
What isn't here is the Archie Kickstarter.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because apparently enough people felt that they were too big of a company to do this. That Archie was kind of like,
because John Goldwater sent all the backers an email, and he's one of the big guys at Archie, and he basically said the conversation wasn't about the books anymore.
Yeah.
And that kind of defeated the whole point. The reason, and he reiterated that the reason they did the Kickstarter is because they wanted to bring these books to life sooner rather than later. Mm-hmm. And like I said, the conversation about the Kickstarter wasn't about the books anymore.
Yeah.
It became about stuff like that, you know, what is this, who cares? Well, it became this own kind of beast that they didn't want.
It still rubs me the wrong way Especially since they said, and they've said, like, these books are coming out. They're just not coming out now. And it's like, that's the thing that kind of bothered me. Much more so than whether Archie was too big or too, you know, not small enough to want Kickstarter. It was just that they were like, okay, we want to do this now, so give us your money. Please. I mean, that's they were doing nicely about it.
You seem to be under the belief that that's not as common a business model as you think it is. That's what most companies do. And that's how most things in life work. It's like, I want to do this now, so I need capital, so they turn to the fans. And as many have said in the past, isn't that how almost all of Kickstarter is? I want to do this thing now, give me your money?
Well, Kickstarter is a little different because it's supposed to be, you know, individual people as opposed to companies. Like.
Yeah, well, okay. We say that. Image actually kickstarts lots of books. You know why Image kickstarts lots of books? Because it isn't Image doing it. Image is just producing it. But they don't have... So what the Kickstarter will do is the Kickstarter...
Funds the creation of the book.
Yeah. And so and they basically use that money to publish it, and Image just actually is the one that distributes it.
Well, it's... Who did Rocket Girl?
That was Amy Reader.
Amy Reader. Yeah. Okay, that was a book I actually kickstarted. Yeah. But it wasn't because it wasn't like Image saying it was an Image comic. It was Amy Reader saying, hey, I need some money. Me and my team need some money to produce this comic.
Yeah.
If we get this money, it's going to be published by Image.
And a lot of Kickstarters that don't start off as... they don't know
they get
that
picked up
going
wall,
to
like,
yeah,
you know,
they
pick up wall.
Yeah, they do a successful Kickstarter, and because
and
of that, Image take notice and goes, oh, hey.
Well, it's like you take Leaving Megalopolis by Gail Simone and Jim Calafiore. That was its own book, and then after they got the books off to the backers, then Dark Horse was like, oh, well, we want to put it out too.
Yeah.
And so they put out a new edition.
Which, like, that's...
Yeah, they put out again, what I see. With Leaving Megalopolis, you got a hardcover.
And then the Dark Horse,
it's only a trade paperback.
Yeah.
You can't buy a
hardcover. That's cool. Like, I don't have a problem with that. Like, I do have a problem.
The issue became, I don't think what their mindset was of, we want to do this now, therefore we're asking for money. I don't think there's anything strange about that.
I think
that that's a fairly standard business practice. And I don't, of all the sticking points, that seems like most confusing to me.
Yeah.
Of you know, yeah, sure, these books were going to come out, but we want to do them now instead of waiting any undetermined amount of time that we have no idea what it is. That was kind of my thing. You know, if he said, oh, well, give us this money now and we'll get the book out now, because if you don't give us the money, then we got to wait, you know, 6 months or something like that. Then, yeah, that's one thing where I'm like, okay, I can handle 6 months. There's other shit to do in 6 months, but these books could have been 6 months, two years down the line.
Maybe
we don't know.
6 years down the line.
Who knows? Like I said, saying it would have come out to me is not a quantifier of any kind, because I've been hearing about some comics projects for so long that I'm like, oh, cool. So for me, a guarantee of your money now gets you this book now is something that I can actually put a little bit of... I can put a little bit of backing behind it, because now I'm like, okay, this money is producing this book this summer. Sure. And I don't think that's strange in any way.
No, I mean, it isn't.
I guess it does kind of tie back, because you're basically saying that Archie is a caliber of company that clearly has the money to do it, but they shouldn't be asking fans for money to do it now. But if it were DC, nobody would buy it. Because it's DC. I mean, DC, of course, they have the money to do it now instead of later. But for me, I don't think Archie is that big of a company. I really don't.
No,
I mean, they don't even show up on the sales records for a month or anything. I mean, I don't.
They're tiny.
I don't think that they've got some big money bags. They don't have the Scrooge McDuck money bank waiting for them to just take money. But either way, it is a non-issue because the Kickstarter has been canceled.
Yeah.
Archie has basically said that the conversation was not about what they wanted. They were hoping to create some buzz. They definitely created buzz. But they were hoping to fund these books and get it done, and the conversation became more about the ethics of them doing it, which has happened before, like when Zach Braff did his Kickstarter. He got a whole lot of people coming to him being like, why do you need our money for this?
If you're rich, can't you just make it?
And he claims
well, see, I mean, that's the thing. And I'm not saying, like, Archie's rich or... I mean, well, they've got more money than we fucking do. That's for damn sure.
Lots of people have more money than we fucking do. That doesn't mean much.
But what I'm saying is that when you get to a certain point, it's like... You already have those connections. Like, if you're already a publishing company that's currently publishing books, mm-hmm. you can figure out a way to publish your books. You don't have to come to me and, you know, to the fans and say, hey, we would like your money.
Yeah, I mean,
that's my point. They didn't have to, but they chose to.
But that's kind of the thing, because, like, if Mark Waid or Chip Zdarsky, let's just say he came out, he said, hey, you know what? I'm really impressed with what Mark Waid is going to be doing with Fiona Staples on Archie. And I spoke to Archie Publishing, and I want to do a Jughead book. And they said, hey, you know what? We don't believe that's going to work, but if you can find the support, we'll publish it for you. So I need a couple thousand, you know, X thousand dollars to, you know, show them that they can make this. It's like,
but isn't that the same thing? Shouldn't Zdarsky have the connections to do it?
I don't know. I don't think Zdarsky, like, the individual is much less powerful than
it seems corporation. Like it, but I don't know. Personally, it's
a non-issue now. Right? Yeah, it's a non-issue. I'm just saying that.
Good job, Vince. Good job.
Money talks, I guess.
I still am at a point where I just didn't get,
like, you know, the Supergirl trailer, I just didn't get what everybody's problem was.
Yeah.
I just am like, it's like with Zach Braff, when he did his movie, and it was like, well, don't you have the connections to get this done? And he actually openly said in his Kickstarter, yeah, I could have gone to a studio, but I wouldn't get to make the movie the way I wanted to. And people bought it, and then he sold the movie for distribution rights anyway. Yes. But it's the kind of thing where but anytime somebody thinks that a company is like, oh, well, you should have the money, or you should be able to get the money, this is the kind of criticism that always gets loved. It's happened with Zach Braff, it happened here with Archie, it's happened plenty of times where a company will be like, oh, well, let's kickstart it, and then the internet in general just rises up and says, well, why do you need my money, why can't you do it yourself? And the thing about Kickstarter is it offers you this great option
To not
give them your money.
Yeah.
And it's so strange. And for my money further, it didn't look like to me like Archie was going to make it anyway.
No.
And I'm sure the controversy didn't help. I mean, if they were asking for a lesser amount, then again, if they were asking for a lesser amount, people would have been like, well, why do you need, you know...
Why do you
tell me you guys don't have 25 grand? But yeah. It became a thing where... They, like I said, and I agree with this, though, like, it became less about the books and more about what the ethics of them doing it. Mm-hmm. And when that becomes the conversation, then the point is missed and they need to back off. So,
yeah.
Now Vince can buy these books without setting a horrible double standard eventually. It totally is, man.
It's not a double standard.
It really is.
Not really.
Because you're saying...
Because if I'm saying I don't need to give you my money, but I hope you make it, like, that's not me, like, wishing ill or...
But you're telling them they shouldn't be doing this. You're telling them they, as a company...
Dude, they already have said they're going to do it. It's not like...
But that's
like, If they said, we will... There is no way in hell we will ever make this book. That might be a different story. But when they're like, we're going to do it anyway.
To criticize the methods of them doing it and then reaping the rewards is a double standard.
I'm not reaping it. They're not giving me the book for free, man.
But no, you're
paying for it.
They're not giving most of the people the book for free. But if you sit there and say, funding it this way is bullshit and you should not as a company be doing this, but hey, if it's successful, I'm going to buy the book you make, that's a little bit of a double standard. It's saying
this method. Yeah, but this is America. We're allowed that double standard.
Well, yeah, but it's still a double standard. That doesn't free it from being that. To say, I think what you're doing is wrong, and that you as a company should not be doing this, but I'm totally going to buy your book. That is a double standard, and that's what it was.
I even think we're talking about different standards of wrong. I mean, I don't think they're like, it's not like slave labor in concentration camps or
whatever. I'm not talking about that either.
I know, but
I kind of agree with that. It's like, sure, because if they did do the Kickstarter and the book came out, I'd have still bought it no matter what. I want the product. I may disagree
with their methods of doing it,
but I have the right to disagree. But it's like, I still want their product. It's like a moral conflict.
Again, it's still a double standard.
Yes, yeah. But it's not that big of a double standard that it should matter. Because it's like, because you're like, yeah.
Mattering is a completely different issue altogether. I'm saying it's a double standard. That's all I've said.
It's a minor double standard,
Here's this thing about minor double standards. They're still double standards.
Well, yeah.
It's sitting there, like, if I was doing something, and you said, if I was creating some product, and I said, well, I need your money to fund this.
There's nothing you can do about them doing it. You can have an opinion on it, but there's nothing you can do to stop it. If it worked, it worked. And that's the only way you can get the product
and
now.
Yeah, that's still a double standard. Like, that's the point.
If I was the only...
If you don't have a problem with it, again, that's a different thing. I'm just simply saying, if you sit there and look at this company and say, how you're doing this is wrong, immoral, and you should feel bad.
But I'm not saying they're doing anything immoral. Yeah. I'm saying they're going about it the wrong way. I mean, you're putting words into my mouth. I don't think they're ripping anyone off. I don't think they're doing anything illegal or immoral or anything that, you know, anyone's going to go to quote-unquote hell for. I'm just saying that I don't think they need... Like, I don't think they should have been trying to fund the money that way. That's it.
I think criticizing the method.
For however many people donated or kickstarted or however you want to fucking call it, $350,000 to get the book made, cool. That means that many people wanted it, and when it comes out, I'll gladly pay my $4 or $4.32
a
month. That's not a double standard.
Yes, it is. You're sitting here and you're saying it's not morally wrong, but it's still a double standard. That's my point. I'm not... You know what? And if you're fine with the
double standard... It's a double standard.
He is.
Okay.
Yeah. He's sitting here repeatedly telling me it's not a double standard. But it is.
I kind of get where he's coming from because it is...
Oh, I get where he's coming from.
Like,
I understand where he's coming from. He's saying that I still wanted the product, so if I don't choose to support the Kickstarter when the product comes out, I was going to buy it anyway. Yeah. That's fine. That's a double standard. That's saying the method you chose to make this book that I want is wrong and I didn't support this method to create the book, but I'm going to support the book. That's saying I'm not going to support you during the process, but I'm going to support you at the end. And that is a double standard.
I do have mixed feelings about that because it's not... Again, you're not forced. You know, it's like you have this option, and it's like, I don't know, man.
It's not simply an option.
I'm exercising my right to not Kickstarter them. I'm also exercising my right to have an opinion on their Kickstarter.
You're
detracting from the point, which is that this is a double standard. You're getting into the... You're trying to justify your stance.
I feel like we're having
the exact same conversation we had last week.
Not only
which is that this
but we're
is
also having
standard.
Three different arguments.
No, the thing is that I am saying...
Are being, making it
I am saying it's a double standard. Dusty is trying to justify having a moral standard, and you're saying it's not a double standard. And my point is that if you want to support them while having a double standard, that's fine. But don't deny that it's not one. To me, to sit here and say you are doing this the wrong way, as such, I choose not to support this method, but then gladly being like, oh yeah, but I'll pay for the book. That's, to me, conflicting morals.
I don't see anything wrong. Like, if I was saying, oh man, I'll gladly pirate the shit out of this book, I'll download an illegal copy, that's a double standard. But saying, if you want to take their money and they want to give you their money, cool. You're gonna get my money when you do it the way I want, I guess.
But you're gonna give them the money even if they did it the way you don't want them to. That's the double standard.
And I'm gonna laugh at the people that pay $10 for the book I just paid $3 for.
But without those people paying $10, you don't get to pay $3.
I would have gotten it sooner or later.
Would you?
Yeah.
Yes.
Because they said
they're saying that
you'd have gotten it sooner or later. Now, sooner or later could be 6 years from now. You're absolutely fucking right. But. I still didn't pay $10 for the book that I paid $3 for.
But that's the nature of Kickstarter, isn't it? You're funding the creation of something.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. But it's also the option. I choose not to do it.
There are
I don't
lots of things
I right
that
now.
I haven't kickstarted.
And again,
I don't kickstart everything.
Again, you guys are saying that it's not a double standard because you were going to buy the book anyway. But if they funded the creation of the book and the book came out now instead of later and you gladly went...
I'm not begrudging them for doing the Kickstarter.
Again, it's got nothing to do with them begrudging them for doing the Kickstarter, man. It is simply the fact that it is a double standard. This is not about who hates who or who hates or who doesn't hate
guys,
this is simply about the fact that by saying this is wrong, I do not believe this is the method they should employ.
I'm not saying this is wrong. Okay. Yeah, he is. I'm not saying this is wrong. I'm just saying I choose not to support it.
And that's one thing. That's fine. But to sit there and say, to me, there's no conflict. There's no
standard.
He
is absolutely right. For you to say that it is wrong and then do it, that is a double standard. I mean, there's no...
All right, we're agreed. Moving on.
No ifs or buts about that.
What the fuck just happened?
Like, we literally just backed you out of this.
Yeah, that's basically what happened. I mean, it's because I was like, yeah, but it's justifiable. And you're like, but it is, like, but I am against it. And it's like, well, if you're against it, then you don't support it at all.
I am against the way... Oh, fuck it. You know what? Whatever. Long story short, I'm glad the Kickstarter got canceled.
Second long story short,
this book comes out in fucking 20 fucking years, I'm still going to buy it.
I'm a little sad that Garchi backed down, honestly. I think that it was the... I think that it just told everybody you were right. It confirmed everybody on the internet. Suspect clearly confirmed everybody on the internet.
And I do agree with that. I think what they should have done is if it was going to fail, you should let it fail.
They should just let it fail. And you know what? And the thing is they canceled
it. Let the people speak with their money.
Exactly. The money is what ends up talking. Yeah. But everybody that backed it is still going to get something from Archie anyway. So, suckers. I still get something.
I should have backed it now at this point.
Yeah, but you know, you guys have just sit there on your
moral... Knowing that it was going to be
canceled. You guys have just sit there on your moral...
I don't give a shit about morals.
There's no morals about this. This is just me simply saying I don't care.
You very clearly care because we just spent 30 minutes.
Well, I don't care about the Kickstarter. I'm not.
We very
shut up and take my money the way I want to give it to you.
Yes.
Right? Well, yeah, whatever. Long story short, the Kickstarter is not happening. Archie backed down. They saw fit to say. They were right. I mean, the conversation wasn't about the books anymore, even though it should have been, because it was some really great stuff.
Too bad, so sad.
This conversation
see in
was
six
also
months.
Not about what it should have been. But
hopefully 6 months. Now we'll never know, jerk.
If Archie, if only this
company had bowed to the way that I believe they should have been.
No, it's really it all depends on sales. Now,
if Archie
want to see
well.
Jughead, then we have to have Archie do well. Yeah. And if Archie does well, then maybe they'll make Jughead. If Jughead does well, then we'll get the next one. And that's
and
really what it's all based about in the
Kevin
first
Keller.
Place. But in all honesty, that's only fair.
Yeah.
And part of me is like, yeah.
That's actually the way
that's
the
comic market,
work.
You know? It's like you make a book, somebody
but
buys
it. But Kickstarter, in its very existence, bucks that trend for everybody.
You're right.
You know, it's, you know, people will say, oh, well, your book has to be successful here, and then you get to do that. It's like Mark Miller said, you get famous at Marvel, and then you've got the money to go do your books anywhere you want.
Yeah.
Unless, you go to Kickstarter, which is much more people do, which means they get to do it now instead of later. Whoa.
It's a bad thing. I just said it's too expensive for me. That's all.
I didn't think there was anything wrong with it. I still don't think there was anything
wrong with it.
We're having the same conversation we just had in the past 20 minutes. What's fucking next? Marvel stuff, all right. Andrew.
So what, you guys heard about Marvel's Kickstarter? No.
No. Doing an Indiegogo.
No, they're just ripping off DC again.
GoFundMe,
aka pay for my shit because I don't want to. I'm sorry for everybody that has a GoFundMe that's a listener. I just think you're full of shit.
And I agree with him.
Go get a job, you slackers. Oh man, I'm going down.
Jesus.
I made it's horrible. No, DC, Marvel is taking a page out of DC's book, and post-Secret Wars, is going to jump forward 8 months, just as time runs out, jumped forward
eight months. Yeah.
And then everybody else caught up.
Kinda.
Yeah, it's confusing.
Which is kind of funny, because by the time, actually, I don't know what the fuck happened, because they kept counting down, that made it even more confusing, because it was like,
1 month till time
seven
runs
months
out.
Later, 6 months later, I'm like, what the fuck, are we going backwards or forwards? What are you doing?
We're going back to the future.
Try putting the 52 trades in order. Like, at a comic book shop. It's like, MC2, this one. And you're like, shouldn't volume one have number one? Nope.
52.
It's 52. It's 52. 41.
Counting down on one.
Yeah.
And it starts, it goes to zero, and then counts down.
And then counts,
counts down up to 52?
Yeah.
God, what a stupid fucking system that was.
Yeah, it counts down.
Countdown
to 52, so it goes 52 all the way down to
one. No, 52 was 1 to 52, wasn't it?
Yeah, but that's my point, is it goes countdown to 52, so you have countdown, it goes 52 to 1. And then
so countdown came after.
It goes like 1.
Because 52 came after Infinite Crisis.
Yeah.
Countdown comes before Final Crisis. So countdown starts at 51, goes to 0, goes to Final Crisis,
okay, so
and then has absolutely nothing to do with Final Crisis.
Well, because that was a Grant Morrison joint, he just does what he wants.
Yeah.
Grant Morrison has figured out a way to get DC to kickstart his shit. Because he's just like, all right, look, I want to write something using these characters, and they're like, okay, and
all
he goes, all right, great, and then he just writes something, and then he's like,
Grant Morrison pays for himself.
Yeah,
as he walks out.
I like the Grant Morrison. He's got the new comic coming out from about like the Indian folklore and stuff like that, and it looks really fucking cool. But you know how many we ordered in my store?
3.
2?
0.
0.
When's it come out?
It's in this month's previews book.
So it comes out like 2 months from now.
July, yeah.
Shit, I better find that out.
Yeah, it looks fucking cool.
I'll buy Grant Morrison shit.
I did like a webcomic about it first, or I don't know.
I'll find out what it is.
Because
I got the new Brian Vaughn one.
Yeah.
The We Stand on Guard or whatever that is.
Looks cool.
Looks good. Alright, so now some more Marvel shit. We're going to call this pettiness from the Marvel camp. Which
I have a problem with some stupid shit that's been going on at Marvel.
Yeah.
And it's just,
it's
like...
It's weird
okay,
decisions.
Look, Uncanny X-Men was supposed to be, like, the end of the series of what Bendis has been doing with All New X-Men and Uncanny X-Men.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was going to be, like, 34 is coming out...
35.
This week? Or is it
35? I think it's 34 this week and
35
35
this week
month.
And, like, 35... Or 34 this week, 35 next week, and then... It's going to be 600, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what they're doing is they are postponing 600 until October, after, I don't know how to call it, Final Crisis, after Secret Wars.
After Final Crisis,
after
Secret
Final Crisis.
War,
Final Secret
Infinite,
Crisis Wars.
Infinite
and
Final Night.
Bendis came out and said, the book's done, this is completely editorial. This is Marvel's decision. I didn't have anything to do with this. And their reasons are their own. And it just... What they've been doing, like, with taking the X-Men and Fantastic Four characters off, like, old-school Secret Wars artwork and, like, T-shirts and shit like that.
We'll talk about that a little bit more in a second.
Yeah, and...
But it just kind of feels like another twist of the knife.
Well, it's just...
Well, it's like that's the conclusion of his run, isn't it?
Yeah.
And, like, now you're going to have to wait fucking 6 months to get it.
Well, it's ridiculous. I mean, there's literally... I read a comic today, which, I'll be honest, probably came out a month ago at least.
Because
I read... I caught up on Uncanny today.
I could tell you why Marvel might be doing that. It's a guaranteed number one for that month. So rather than waste it on a month where they're going to have Secret Wars blowing up the charts, you save it for
yeah,
a later
but
month.
Fuck,
don't.
Man.
But
like,
6 months delay? That's
six,
bullshit.
A six-month delay.
Five, at any rate.
Look, there's literally... It's actually really funny because 33, the last panel of 33... says to be continued in Uncanny X-Men 600.
So maybe 600
and
was supposed
34
to come out. Actually, no,
comes
I think
out.
600 was supposed to come out.
It was supposed to come out this month.
Well, it might have been supposed to come out before 34 then.
Well, I don't think they're going to do it out of sequence.
Wouldn't be the strangest thing they've done.
Yeah, true. But anyway, like, it literally says to be continued in X-Men 600
yeah.
fucking 6 months from now.
Yeah.
Like, what kind of bullshit is
yeah,
that?
Yeah, they're doing, I mean, they're definitely trying to remove X-Men.
It seems
and Fantastic
like it
Four.
Really does.
Okay, because they've got the new Marvel Future Fight game. Okay, and now Contest of Champions, you could there's a lot of X-Men characters in it.
Yeah,
Wolverine, Storm, Cyclops, so on and so forth. Okay, so Future Fight comes out strictly Marvel Cinematic Universe characters.
Of course, it does.
There's no X-Men, no Wolverine. I mean, it's like you have a fighting game, and you don't fucking put Wolverine in it. Like, what the
yeah.
fuck? You know?
Well, like I said, they did have these shirts, these Secret War shirts that are coming
yeah.
out, and they've got all of the X-Men and the Fantastic Four removed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they replaced I mean, they replaced some of the characters with, like, Daredevil and Iron Fist and Luke Cage.
Yeah.
And some of them they just clean took out. Like, yeah. There's a Fire Streak that's supposed to be...
Yeah, that had the Human Torch in it.
Yeah, where he's
and
gone.
And they just took the Human Torch out, yeah.
It's just really... It just comes... And then, you look at Hawkeye, which is apparently slated now for July, despite the fact that Aja is saying he finished it, a month ago.
I think that's just pettiness.
3 weeks ago, it was like, this is on the wrap.
I really want to know, and I don't know if it's ever going to come out.
It'll never come out.
But I'd really like to know what exactly happened between Fraction and Marvel. Because they seem to have a great relationship.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
then just, all of a
well,
sudden...
Well, the common answer that I think most people will give you is Inhuman happened. Because Fraction basically gave up a lot of his other Marvel stuff to take on Inhuman. And then Marvel basically apparently micromanaged him out of a job on that one. Because... Inhuman was supposed to launch this big new phase of the Inhumans for Marvel, and then it just kind of ended up going. Then it just kind of ended up going.
Yeah.
And
getting there under Soul. Like, I mean, the Inhuman is a good.
But the
book
lost so much momentum. Oh, absolutely. By the time it finally came out, I'm like, does anybody fucking care?
But that's the thing, right? X-Men is definitely a much bigger franchise than the Inhumans. But Inhuman was supposed to come out directly after Infinity.
Yeah.
Right? And Infinity
Inhuman
number 1 came out, and then nothing happened for 6 months.
Yeah. Inhumanity came out.
Yeah, Inhumanity.
Inhumanity was supposed to launch Inhuman by Fraction and Joe Madd, and then the Inhumans were supposed to capitalize on the success of Infinity.
Yes.
And then it didn't happen because Fraction left, and then Soul, and then Madd is slow. Should we lose?
No, man, it's... Last I saw, it was tied 97-97. Now it's 97-106.
God Christ.
2 minutes left.
So, this is game one, by the way. Hopefully we have better news in the future. So it just Inhuman and all that just completely lost its fucking momentum.
Yeah.
Because anything it would have capitalized off of coming out of Secret War of Infinity rather was completely gone by the time the book actually launched, because Infinity wrapped in August, and then Inhuman didn't launch until January or February, and then the first three issues were delayed as fuck because Joe Madd is slow as shitting when he has 10 months to start.
Yeah.
And so it just crushed any momentum that book had. And they've been trying to play catch up ever since. And now it looks like after Secret Wars, they might actually be getting there because they've got Uncanny Inhumans coming and all that. So we'll see. But it was not a good start. And I honestly would look to Inhuman as the possible starting point of the. Because I know he left other books, because he left Fantastic Four and FF to focus on Inhuman.
Mm-hmm.
And it could honestly be that he liked doing those better and they pulled him for Inhuman because they were like, we need this more, only to be told, oh, well, sorry, we're not going to use any of your shit, you're off the book. And that would be enough to make me get pissed at people.
Yeah.
And then now they're dicking around releasing the last issue of my book. And at this point, my problem is that I'm like, Marvel is a professional company that... DC doesn't do this shit. DC axed Blackman and Williams from Batwoman because they came out and said, oh, well, working on this book is terrible because DC doesn't let us do anything we want. So they were like, alright, you're off the book. And people got really, really mad, but for a company, they were like, oh, they didn't Bogart their last couple of issues. They let their next issues come out and then they just moved on to the next.
I mean, that's the thing. That happens, especially you're working in an industry, if you come out, or whatever industry, if you come out and slam your bosses...
Well, yeah, me, that was the thing that I didn't understand, is people were like, they came out and said, well, working on this book has been bad, they didn't let us do what we want, blah, 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 and I'm like, and everyone was like, no, DC took them off the book, what the hell, and I'm like, if I walked into my boss, if I did a public interview that my boss saw where I said that he sucked and, he wasn't letting me do what I want, I'd absolutely get fired, and none of you would have a problem saying, oh, well, duh, you got fired.
Yeah.
But people wanted to treat, they think, basically, in comics, people support the creators more than the companies.
Yeah.
So when the creators are the victims, they support them. They're not going to say DC was right to protect their whatever. They're pissed off that they don't get this book anymore.
Which is very interesting, because that's not really something that happens in other...
It really doesn't.
In sports,
to an extent, I guess. But
what would you say? Entertainment, I guess.
Yeah.
It happens in entertainment, but in any other field...
It doesn't happen in marketing. It doesn't happen in fucking any of that. If I fucking badmouth my boss, I get fired.
Exactly.
That's a pretty standard. Hell, and it happens in entertainment
but anyway,
too.
But back to Marvel, the problem is that they don't seem to. It's like they're not. They don't just fire you. They just fucking dick around with your shit until.
Well, and the honest about truth is that Fraction and Aja, they've gotten paid for this. It's not like they're getting stiffed or anything. It's just that Marvel's like. It, which is why for me it's even more petty because at this point the only people Marvel is screwing are the fans.
That, no, because they get back end, you know, off issue sales and stuff like that too.
Depends.
So I mean, well, somebody like Fraction, he definitely has back end worked out.
Especially,
but even to the book, my point is that he's been paid for his work. He'll get that stuff eventually.
Well, that's my point.
But,
is that he, you
but
know,
at this
you
point, all
paid.
They're denying him is that back end pay, which is probably not as much as it costs for him to write the issue.
No, very true.
But this is mostly just dicking the fans at this point.
Yes.
Because the fans are the ones that want to buy it, the fans are the ones that supported the book, and the fans are the ones that made Hawkeye a book that could continue without Fraction.
Mm-hmm.
And now they don't get to enjoy the last bit of his run because Marvel feels like they have a point to prove. And that's me. That's a lot of conjecture on my part, but it's hard for me to feel like it's anything else.
Yeah.
If the book's done. And you're waiting two more months after it's been finished for a month to release it?
Yeah.
You're fucking with people at this point. But, and you know, and...
At least they put a date on it. I mean, they could have
just...
There's
been like 9 dates on that book, so
well,
it means...
I guess, I mean...
Seriously, the date means jack shit at this point.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
You know, it was supposed to come out in June.
I just hope they
don't...
last year.
Yeah.
I just hope they don't let it fly and, you know, just like, just... cold release it. Just
I actually would assure you that's probably what they'll do.
Just show up in stores.
Now, other websites will see it's coming out, like CBR and all that will see it's coming out, so they'll end up raising the spread about it, but I actually don't think Marvel's going to do much to promote it. I could be wrong. I hope I'm wrong. It's a dick move on their part. And
definitely wrong.
And the last part, is that apparently there's no new Fantastic Four on the horizon, even post-Secret Wars, so...
Yeah, nothing.
Right now, Marvel just really, to me, is coming off as, like, that kid in high school, or that kid in, like, elementary school who's pissed that kid has toys he doesn't have, and so he's just being an absolute prick about it.
It's stupid. And, I mean, it's like...
This is Archie Kickstarter stupid.
This is worse than Archie Kickstarter stupid.
No, yeah. I don't know.
This is a company, really, to me, that's just like... And the thing is, like, I know that it's probably the higher-ups passing this shit down, but it's still BS.
It's absolutely a Disney decision, not a Marvel decision.
And I know that Marvel will like to be like, oh, well, you know, they don't tell us what to do or anything, but I'm just like, they are. So,
yeah.
Marvel's being a bunch of dicks.
We should take a pause, because I really am serious.
You need to deal with this. All right. We'll be back in a little bit, and we're going to wrap up the rest of our news talk for the week and then do our picks of the week and wrap this up. So we'll be back in a second, guys.
Like two, literally.
No, we have ads.
Hey, we have ads.
We have Comic Palooza
ads. We have made it. See you guys in a minute.
We haven't gone anywhere.
What are you doing on Memorial Day weekend? Well, forget that, because Comic Palooza 2015 is almost here. At Comic Palooza, you'll see your favorite celebrities, comic book creators, and authors. Hear super cool musical acts. Experience crazed cosplay events. Rowdy professional wrestlers. Raucous roller derby girls. Literally thousands of hours of programming and so much more. Celebrity guests appearing at Comic Palooza this year include Jeremy Renner. That's right, Hawkeye from the Avengers. Stars of the hit Fox series Gotham. Star Trek's George Takei. Oh my. The Fonz himself, Henry Winkler. Ayy. Comic book superstar Stan the Man Lee. And of course me, Kyle Hebert, that anime and video game voice actor guy. Follow Comic Palooza on social media, on Twitter, at Comic Palooza, Instagram, at Houston Comic Palooza, and like us on Facebook to keep up with amazing guest announcements as they happen. Remember, Comic Palooza at the George R. Brown Convention Center in Houston, Texas, Memorial Day weekend, May 22nd to 25th. Get your passes today. Head over to www.comicpalooza.com for all the details.
All right, welcome back to God Hates Comics. As you noticed from our commercials, the past several weeks we are working with Comic Palooza. If you guys are interested in seeing us in action, you can come by the podcasting table at Comic Palooza from tomorrow, Friday, from 4 to 5. We'll be recording live at the show. I don't know where the table is, though, so...
We have no details on where or
no
how
idea.
We're actually doing this. We just know that we're doing it. So,
yeah.
if you're there, 4 to 5, like I said last week, do you see a guy that looks like Seth Rogen surrounded by two fat guys?
That's the place to be. All right, guys, cool. But anyway, we're going to talk about Secret Wars. Well, they're going to mostly talk about Secret Wars. So Secret Wars 2 came out last week. So it was 2 weeks.
I just finished the fucking issue.
It was 2 issues in 2 weeks, right?
For like 30 seconds. I'm like, I got 3 pages.
And we're back.
All right, we're back now. And Dusty has finished those 3 pages. So, all right, guys. What did you think about Secret Wars issue 2?
I like it. It's much better than the first one.
And that's not a slight to the first one. Yeah. I just think the first issue was playing catch-up, basically, for people that weren't reading New Avengers and Avengers since issues 1. Because it kind of explains, you know, everything that's going on. But, like, issue 2 is, like, firmly set on Battleworld with, like, you know, the Thor Corps there, Doom's in charge of everything, Sinister's ruling his own place, the Captain Britain Corps, are doing their own thing. The Future Foundation's kind of around. I mean, it's intense. It's really cool.
It is.
And there's just a lot of... Fuck, I don't know how to explain it other than there's just a lot of cool shit. Like, the image of Galactus just, like, standing there, like, on fire, being a badass. You know?
And then if you were curious as to how it all dovetails back, at the end, the...
Yeah, throughout the entire book... The ship that you see in issue 1 that lands on this planet is just sitting there, and they're talking about it, and they finally...
Yeah, the Morlock kids from the Future Foundation find it.
Yeah.
And it was Alex Powers and Dragon Man and a couple, I think, I can't remember who else.
Yeah.
But they're you know, searching through it, or, you know, trying to figure out what's going on. And then Thanos and the Cabal show up.
Yep, and Reed Richards. Was Reed Richards part of the Cabal?
Well,
Ultimate Reed Richards.
Yeah. So they show up, so it dovetails it back. So now it seems that the paradigm seems to be that Battleworld is now existing.
Yeah.
And I'm sure we'll find out how exactly in the next issue as it all kind of dovetails together. So, But you guys both agree a significant step up over issue 1?
I don't want to say a step up. I'd just say... It's a different beast. Because number one, like I said, number one was good, but it was a good recap. So for me and Dusty, well, for me, I had already been reading New Avengers and Avengers, so it was kind of like, okay, I've seen this before.
To me, it was a good setup because I haven't caught up with Avengers or New Avengers.
So. For me, it was a setup that I was like, man, I still don't care.
It's one of those things where I'm not going to go as jaded as our friend Andrew here, but I can definitely see... If you hadn't read any of the Avengers, New Avengers stuff, where you could be like, what the fuck is happening? Because it doesn't really give you an explanation as to why this is happening. It just tells you it's happening.
Yeah.
You know? So.
That's very true.
But anyway, I mean, honestly, issue 2 could have served as a great number 1 because it's kind of a cold opening where you're just kind of like thrust into, you know, whatever's going on. I think it starts out with the Thor Corps.
Yeah.
And they're initiating like a new recruit.
Yeah.
And I mean, you can see that there's all these different Thors there, and basically they're supposed to be guarding the realm or guarding the world.
They serve God, who is Doom.
Yeah, Doom is God. God is Doom.
God is Doom.
That's a perfect world for him, I guess.
Or like a fucking Metallica album or something. God is Doom. But I mean, the book's really cool. And the way they set it up, it makes sense as to why there's so many new titles spinning out of Battleworld. Or Secret Wars.
Because this book is kind of a primer for just a sliver of what's out there.
Yeah. So. I still feel like you'll be able to get the main story out of Secret Wars itself.
Oh, yeah, like, I'm sure you can.
As with most Hickman books, the last double page spread is a graphic that he probably designed.
Yeah.
It's a map showing where all the different factions of Battleworld come together.
Yeah.
And so that's pretty cool to see, where you can actually kind of put a location to all the things where we're going to see. Like, I think next week, A-Force comes out, Planet Hulk, There's a couple other titles.
Deadpool, Secret War, Spider-Verse number one, Inferno, Infinity Gauntlet, MODOK Assassin number one, Old Man Logan, Secret Wars 2099,
yeah.
And Where Monsters Dwell.
Yeah, and we've also got, I think, a couple Last Days issues.
Yeah, some Last Days we've got. We've also got the Battle World stuff. Well, the Last Days issues are going to be Captain America Mighty Avengers, number 8, Loki, Agent of Asgard, number 14, Magneto, number 18, and then Battle World, we'll have Master of Kung Fu, number 1. Oh, man, that's got a really sweet Frank Avila cover. I might actually be buying that series just because of those covers.
God damn it.
There you go.
Battle World, number 1, Inhumans, Attila and Rising, number 1, Secret Wars Journal, Ultimate End, and X-Men 92, which will be an Infinite comic.
Yeah. By the way, these aren't all coming out this week.
Yeah.
These are just coming out. Well, like I said, like, if for some reason Secret Wars is your first title, like, you didn't pick up number 1, I think you're still getting as complete a story as a number 2 issue of an 8-issue miniseries can be. So, yeah... You're not doing bad or wrong if you only pick the decision to move forward. Although I doubt many people do that because comic book readers are fucking weird like that.
They are. It's true. It's very true.
Anyway, well, unless anyone else has anything to say, you want to just move on to The Flash?
Yeah.
Sure.
That show kicks so much fucking ass.
It really does. It really, really does.
Yeah. And so we've got the finale that's come out now. Kind of leaves you cliffhanger. Like, extraordinarily leaves you cliffhanger.
Kind of my dickhole. It leaves you on a cliffhanger.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, the Flash is like, oh, by the way, spoilers. If you haven't seen it yet, like, pause us and go watch it and come back.
Yeah, seriously.
Anyway, it ends with, like, there's like a fucking wormhole above Central City. And they're just like... And basically, it all boils down to... And I still love this with The Flash, because as ridiculous as it is, it's still, how fast do I need to go to fix this?
Yeah.
And the answer is always really fast. So he goes...
It's always faster than you ever had before.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
And he runs up a building and takes on a wormhole with his speed, and that's how it ends. You know, it flashes to the Flash logo.
See, I thought we were going to be getting, like, an alternate world. I mean, I thought he was going to go to the past, something was going to change, and he was going to come back, and we'd have, like, a different future.
I was actually kind of worried about that, because, I mean, it would be really cool to come back and everything's different.
Yeah.
But then it would also be kind of shitty. Like, I mean, I kind of went in thinking he's not going to save his mom.
Yeah.
And it was actually really cool when he didn't do it, because...
He told himself not to.
Yeah, he told himself not to do it.
Yeah.
Like, his
that was the piece that I really liked, because, like, he's there, he's ready to do it, and then he sees himself and himself...
Looks at him and just puts his hand up and is like, don't do it.
Because he really didn't seem to be understanding the gravity of what he was doing. And I think it was that moment that kind of showed him, if you undo this, you undo it all. There's no Iris, there's no Joe, there's no Flash, there's no Caitlin, there's
because
no Cisco.
Speaking
of fucking Cisco.
Yeah, we have officially...
He's Vibe.
Officially.
Yeah.
He's fucking Vibe.
Well, he's like officially knows that he has powers. He doesn't know exactly what those powers are, you know?
Yeah, because it, like, we all assume that him being able to remember what happened in that alternate timeline was like
a throwback to them, like, to him being Vibe. Yeah.
No. It was just because they kind of explained it where it was like, if it's something that happened so vividly, you might just be remembering flashes of it in a dream.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but then. And what's his name? Wells is just like, oh, okay, so you saw that? Oh, man, that's awesome. Like, you're going to be a superhero. It's like, you've got powers that affected you, too. Talking about the...
Yeah, it is kind of cool what he tells him. And he's like, oh, prepare for a long, epic journey. Like, you know, like, you're going to be awesome.
I actually really like how they've handled Wells throughout the show, because he's an evil guy.
Yeah.
But he never comes off as just maniacal.
Here's my real question.
Like...
Okay. Shouldn't everything be affected because Eddie just killed himself?
Everything how?
now there's no Reverse Flash. If there's no Reverse Flash, Flash never fought the Reverse Flash. Reverse Flash never went back in time to kill his mom.
No, because that still happened in the past.
But Eddie killing himself.
Yeah. Reverse Flash never being born. It wiped him from existence. It literally wiped him from existence.
The issue becomes, man, and I actually think they're gonna address this, is that I'm sure they will address it eventually. It's an implication, and they may get into this, but that you can't change time because time has happened already. So even though Eddie has killed himself and stopped Thawne from ever existing, one, Thawne may be an anomaly and still find a way to exist, which is what's happened with the comics before, but two, it may be that it's the timeline isn't undone because what Wells still did still happened.
Yeah, which I think that's the logical explanation, I guess, because it's the Wells that died, or the Wells Thawne that died because mm-hmm. Eddie shot himself, was from the future, who went back to, I don't know, 85 or whatever year it was, killed Flash's mom.
2000.
Was that it? See, like,
15 years.
It was like the year 2000. Holy shit. Anyway. Wow. So goes back to
1985.
That was 15 years ago, right?
So he goes back to 2000, kills Flash's mom, all that shit sets in motion, but then he gets stuck there. Right? Mm-hmm. So it's still this, like, he went back, and it's like this loop thing that
it is a paradox.
Like, Eddie killing himself would wipes him from, like, all of existence. It just wipes him from that moment.
Well, the way some people look at it is, as they
say... Don't shake your head like you did, like, what I'm saying doesn't make any goddamn sense. None of this makes any goddamn sense.
No, I just disagree, that's all.
Well, the way I kind of look at it is that it's as they say in the show, when you go back in time, you create an alternate timeline. And so, Wells is existing in an alternate timeline different from his own. Because you see, in Wells' timeline, he's not in the past. He didn't exist in the past.
Yeah.
But then he goes back in time and creates a new timeline where he does exist. And then Barry even goes back in time and creates a different timeline. So there's all these varying levels of timelines that already exist because Wells going back changed everything,
yeah.
But Barry going back changes nothing because he doesn't end up actually doing anything. So at the end of the day, there is still a paradox there, because now basically Thawne will never exist, but he already has existed. So I think that's the explanation they're going to go with, is that even though he doesn't exist now, what he did still happened. And it may be side effect. That could even be the point of the premiere, is that the singularity is keeping this stuff together, and then when Barry stops it, it changes everything. That could be our catalyst.
Which I still hope doesn't really happen, because...
I hope it does. I think it'd be fucking cool.
Because then
we'll get Caitlin. I mean, because she's already said that she's going to become Killer Frost.
They showed her as Killer Frost.
We think.
Right. During the montage, when he was running back in time, they were showing little montages of different things that hadn't happened yet, or mm-hmm. already happened in the past.
Mm-hmm.
There's a woman that kind of looks like Caitlin
mm-hmm.
in a suit that looks like Killer Frost suit, shooting something that looks bluish from her hands. Right? Okay. And it was really quick, mm-hmm. so I'm not 100% certain.
So I'll have to go back and rewatch that.
Yeah, because awesome. I DVR'd it, so at some point I'm going to go back and
check it out.
And it really looked like they showed the Hall of Justice. Wow. Or it might have been the Flash Museum, now that I think about it.
Possibly,
because it was a building with a gold statue of what I think was the Flash in front
That's
of it.
That's the Flash Museum.
So either Hall of Justice, most likely.
And that Jay Garrick helmet, we're looking at multiple
Holy
worlds
fuck.
Now, too.
Yeah. That was the coolest fucking part, when this goddamn fucking Jay Garrick helmet flies out of the fucking wormhole, and Wells is like, that's my cue to go.
Yeah. But he also said, he's like, Rip Hunter would be proud.
Yeah.
Like, that was really cool.
Yeah.
So there's
no, that the moment that helmet came sliding across the floor, I was like, oh my god, if Jay Garrick shows up right now and punches Reverse Flash in the face, I'm gonna lose my
Yeah, I know.
Just like flies through, punches him straight in the face, and is just like, ooh, I've been waiting to do that for a long time.
Just been waiting.
I've literally been sitting on my porch waiting for this moment. No. But no, like, it's all really cool. And like, it was interesting because apparently Gustin even hinted that some multiple world stuff could be coming.
Yeah.
So some Flash of Two Worlds.
Yeah, they have announced that like next season we'll deal with alternate Earths.
Yeah, so yeah. Flash of Two Worlds is in our future, I think.
Yes,
so.
I believe so.
So anyway, some cool shit on The Flash. And if you haven't watched it and you still listen to us talk about it, then I'm sorry, but you need to go watch it anyway.
Just hope that it's like his dad as Jay Garrick.
I would really be like, okay, if they just they double dipped on John Wesley's ship and made him Jay Garrick.
Like, cool. The timeline, he just shows up and he's like, oh, on this timeline, I'm Jay Garrick. Mm-hmm. And it's like, the fuck?
I'm The Flash.
And that would actually be really interesting because, I mean, with time travel, you can kind of do shit like that.
Yeah.
Because it's alternate realities or whatever.
Well, yeah,
just have the same actor play two different characters concurrently.
Yeah.
That would be cool.
So yeah, we're in a big anticipation for season two at this point.
Yes, yes we are.
And I think I'm going to let my DVR record all the episodes over the summer so that I can bear maul the whole thing when season two gets ready to come.
Cool. I'm still four episodes behind the
Arrow.
Yeah.
I just caught up with it.
Which...
It had its finale last week, right?
No, its finale will be this week.
No, I think it was last week.
It was last week.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Well, I missed the end. Yeah, that's what I was saying. The last episode that I watched,
yeah,
I only watched like the first 20 minutes of it. So.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
So, yeah, I guess if it is the
point.
Yeah. Finale, then whatever.
So, we're on the topic of finales. I also watched the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. finale, which was pretty cool. It sets up some pretty interesting stuff. Movie in the future. I'm not going to say what it is, but you might be able to figure out. It's involves Quake.
Cool.
And Jonathan Hickman. So you put those two together.
Super Warriors.
Yeah.
I've had you both simultaneously like, yeah. All right, let's talk some picks, guys. We need to wrap this one up. So
we're not going to do a like overall pick of the week.
We aren't. Because we will not be recording a new episode next week because Vince had to go and find something better to do.
Sorry, guys.
You're not sorry. Don't even pretend.
Where I wanna go to.
We're just going to make you go to the Mondo Gallery for us.
Whatever. Yeah, no. I'm not joking.
It's the Tom Whalen show. It's happening.
Yeah. You got to remember that Daredevil.
Well, look, if I'm going to Austin, if I go to Austin, I'm going to try to...
And then maybe send me pictures of everything else because that Daredevil one.
We'll just Skype in and you'll just do a quick little video.
Yeah.
Well, they're probably going to reveal some more stuff as...
Did you see the Batman one they released? Like, the pick of the Batman one?
Which one is it?
So it's 12 by 36 inches long.
It's not as Gotham by Gaslight one, is it?
No. It's... Dude. Yeah, just go to the Mondo Tees. Look at the shit, dude. It's Mondo. Fucking amazing.
You know what else is 12 by 36 inches long?
My dick.
No.
Is it under news?
Like 36 millimeters?
But, yeah, it's kind of small.
Yeah.
I'm trying to rationalize that one. Nope, still small. Alright.
I'll see it, man. We'll find it later. I'll find it later. But anyway, I'm gonna go first on the picks of the week. I've got five, but we aren't going to clarify Vince's point. We're not going to have a recorded episode for next week. What we're hoping to have is our recording from Comicpalooza on tomorrow, on Friday, plus any other random snippets, interviews, things that we may record over the course of the weekend. So I'm hoping that we'll have some cool stuff that, yeah, I've seen the Godzilla.
Both of the Godzillas?
Yes, I've seen the Godzillas.
There's the Mad Monster Party.
I've seen that one too. That's cool.
This is riveting radio, guys. Showing each other pictures on your phone.
Yeah, it's very riveting. What Dusty is... No. As he slides his finger down the screen, creating tension between us.
Tension between us.
That's took an erotic turn. But no, our plan is to use whatever we record for Comicpalooza, which is hopefully our live show Friday, which will hopefully feature a couple of guests.
Yeah.
I'm also going to a press junket on, I hope I'm going to a press junket on Saturday. I'll find out. Probably Saturday. I'm going to hopefully see if I can grab a couple of other things. So if I get a good little... We'll at the very least post our live show from Friday. Or yeah. our show from the floor. And that'll be a nice little... That'll comprise most of our episode of next
and
week.
If anything... If everything goes haywire, I think we've got something in the can. We could.
We do, actually. Yeah. I just need to pull it out. That's what she said. but no, so anyway... So it will be an episode next week. What it is, you'll see then. But our Comicpalooza stuff will be posted eventually either way. And yeah, if you guys see us, say hey.
Yeah.
We'll definitely. There. We will.
But anyway, I'm going to go first with my picks. My first pick is Convergence 7. I'm riding this stupid fucking train to the end.
At this point, why not? I mean, there's one more issue.
Upside. Convergence Swamp Thing 2 by Len Wein and Kaley Jones. Convergence Swamp Thing 1 was fucking awesome. So I'm hopeful that this one is just as awesome. We got Bloodshot Reborn number 2 by Jeff Lemire and Miko Swan?
Sure. Swain.
Swain. There we go. First issue was really, really good. Has kind of...
Two versions of the Daredevil poster?
Yeah, there's a yellow one and a red one.
Fuck me.
Jesus. Good lord, man. It's fucking posters. God.
Hey.
This room eventually will be covered in them. But, Bloodshot Reborn number 1 was actually really, really good. It was Jeff Lemire writing, and it was his first kind of post the Valiant Bloodshot, where he's kind of lost what makes him Bloodshot. And at the end of the issue, he realizes that there's some other people kind of like Bloodshot going around pretending to be Bloodshot, so he kind of feels
some
the need
Bloodshot
to go.
Bloodshot lost his Bloodshot and sees other Bloodshots being Bloodshot.
Yes, nice. And so this awesome. It's the worst inception ever. But he basically takes it upon himself, even without his powers, that he needs to deal with these Bloodshot imposters, and it was really, really good. And I'd never read Bloodshot before. I didn't even read The Valiant. I was able to pick it up pretty easily. Yeah, I mean, I'm a Lemire. I mean, I should have brought The Valiant because it was Lemire too, but I didn't. And so I just saw that Bedrock had like stacks upon stacks of the new issue. So I picked it up, checked it out. So I'll be coming back for issue 2. And also we're going to have Katara number 2. This is Chip Zdarsky and Kagan McLeod doing their space opera, Sex Criminals in Space. Is that no. How do they describe this book?
Gay Saga.
Gay Saga, that's right.
Gay Saga.
It's like Saga, but way gayer.
But the first issue is all right. I'm trying out issue 2. I'm gonna see if it's. I'm hoping Zdarsky's not just a really shitty writer.
Like, what did you think of issue 1?
I thought issue 1 was okay.
It was
like,
good. Yes. But it wasn't phenomenal.
It wasn't anything.
Right, what we're specifically talking about is that I read Howard the Duck 3 last week, and I said I was gonna give it a shot because even though I love number 1, number 2 kind of let me down a bit, and number 3. Kind of let me down a bit. I mean, it was like equal parts good, funny story and equal parts like ham-fisted duck humor, if that makes any sense.
It's real forced.
Yeah, where it's like there's some stuff that just came off as forced, you know. I gotta say, I do love his handling of Spider-Man because all he's doing is just making him look like a complete loser piece of shit. And it's like, it's funny because I love Spider-Man so much, but it just cracks me up where, like, Howard gets back from space and Spider-Man's sleeping on his rooftop just waiting for him because he wants to make sure he's okay.
Yeah.
You know? Like, that's kind of cool. Or, like, in this issue, like, Howard confronts Aunt May, of all people. Like, there's a reason for it.
Don't tell me about issue 3. I haven't read it yet because you didn't fucking bring it to me.
What am I supposed to do? Like, deliver, hand deliver the comics to you?
You did just a minute ago, didn't you?
On my time.
Yeah. Well.
Anyway, there's some cool Spider-Man stuff that happens in Howard the Duck 3.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. Are you done with your picks? I'm gonna go.
No, I'm not done with my picks.
Sorry.
So Katara 2, I'm gonna try it out. You went on your detour about Zdarsky sucking as a writer.
I'm not saying he sucks. I'm just saying that he's not as good as I want him to be.
Yeah, but so Katara number 2 is going to kind of be my... For me, it might be the make-or-break issue. Kind of see if it's worth picking up with.
Yeah,
but so far, I'm not. Well, it's because he mentioned this project, actually, back at Staple last year. He mentioned that him and Kagan were trying to work on something together. And this is that project.
Yeah.
And needless to say, it's... Because I love Kagan McLeod and his work on Infinite Kung Fu and a whole bunch of other stuff, and Zdarsky. But it's just, issue one was nothing to write home about, so I'm hoping issue two ramps it up. And if it doesn't, then unfortunately I may not be back for issue three.
Yeah.
Better news. Osagi Yojimbo returns this week. Osagi Yojimbo number 145 by Stan Sakai himself, after a very long absence during which he published Osagi Yojimbo Senso, which is the War of the Worlds Osagi Yojimbo story. Mm-hmm. He will be coming back with a brand new issue. And as a good jumping on point, it's the start of a brand new arc. And if you've never tried Osagi Yojimbo, I would absolutely check this out, because it's about as good a place to jump in as any. And yeah, I still gotta go on my quest to meet Stan Sakai.
Yeah.
It's gonna happen eventually.
You just travel the wastelands of California.
Pretty much. I think he's going to Baltimore. I don't know.
Baltimore?
Yeah.
Maryland? Other way. Gotta go.
Well, there's a Baltimore comic show. I don't know if you know that, but he usually does it. So.
I do know that. Also.
So, yeah, I'll have to look around and see if I can find it. But yeah, I'm a big fan of Usagi Yojimbo. Also, the third Usagi Yojimbo Saga trade comes out next week, so if you really want to try out Usagi Yojimbo, I would actually get that first trade, because they're, what, like $25?
Yeah.
They're, like, super cheap, and they're thick as fuck.
But they're huge. Well,
I think it's 25, and they're black and white. Yeah. It's a black and white book, but they're thick as fuck. You get tons of content. So, yeah, if you want to try out Usagi Yojimbo, you can try out the issue, or I would recommend the Saga books, the Usagi Yojimbo Saga books. So, yeah, that's me this week.
Alright, I'm back. Sorry.
Yawning. Guardians of the Galaxy number 27. So, we're finished with the Black Vortex crap. Last issue saw Star-Lord being elected president of Spartax. Unbeknownst to him, because he didn't run for president.
Nice.
But apparently their bylaws allow people to just write in whoever they want, and if they get voted, they're president. Whoops. So apparently, you know, they voted in Peter Quill. So now it's him and his crew, Guardians of the Galaxy, being wrangled up, taken to Spartax, and now they're being told, hey, you're the president. You should probably stop guarding the galaxy. And now he's going to deal with that fallout, I guess. What I'm interested in is how exactly they handle it, because I think 27 is the last issue before Secret War, like, it goes into Secret Wars.
Yeah.
So most likely, not really going to see anything.
So afterwards.
Yeah, I mean, I really don't know. That's why I'm interested in getting it. Planet Hulk number 1 is also, it's going to be...
Is this one with Steve Rogers on a dinosaur?
Yes.
Riding Devil Dinosaur?
Yep.
Yeah.
Fuck, I have to buy this.
So it's Gladiator Steve Rogers on Devil Dinosaur fighting a bunch of Hulks.
Yeah.
And that's what the book is set up as. Hopefully it's as cool as it sounds, because it sounds cool as shit. So, we'll see. Mm-hmm. It's also, it's A-Force is coming out next week, and there's a couple other titles, but it's one
Doesn't
of
Doesn't A-Force come out this week?
Next week, this week, sorry.
Yeah, it's
this
right.
week. Yeah. But yeah, so there's a couple other Battle World, Secret Wars titles coming out, but this is the one I'm latching on to.
For sure.
Fucking Gladiator cap.
Devil Dinosaur.
Star Wars number 5, because Star Wars makes me cry. That's pretty much it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little shocked at how on time Cassidy is.
Well, let me see. Darth Vader started after Star Wars, and Darth Vader number 5 shipped last week, so he's doing good.
Because Darth Vader's not monthly. Darth Vader's been bi-monthly more than once. The first two issues of Darth Vader came out in the same month, I think.
Maybe.
All right, Dusty, what do you got?
All right. So let's see. We've got Archer versus Predator number 2.
Fuck yeah.
The first issue was just kind of fucking amazing, so I'm really excited.
What is it? That's our fucking book for next week, guys. On our non-existent show for next week.
Yeah, on our non-existent show for next week.
We'll talk about it eventually.
Yeah, we will talk about how we read Archie for Spider-Man 2. So I've also got Fade Out number 6, new one from Brubaker and Phillips. This has been their most successful Image series, series at all together to date, and for good reason. It's fucking fantastic. We've also got Moon Knight number 15. I've just been loving this fucking series. Cullen Bunn's been doing a really good job too. So, and Witches number 6. This series is about to come to a close with issue 7, I believe.
No, I think it was the second arc. This is the end of the first arc.
Okay.
Which one?
Witches.
No, I mean, they said it's wrapped up. That's what Matt Mollenberg has said, at least. Like, he said he's done
what... That's not what Snyder's saying.
Well, at least for now, I guess.
Well, yeah, six ends the current arc, I think, and then...
Okay.
It picks up down the road.
Okay, because I follow Hollingsworth on Facebook, and he said that he was... that Witches are basically done for now, so...
Snyder has said there's more to come.
Cool, eventually. I'm sure there will be, you know? So, and then we've got... Valhalla Mad, number one. This is a new one from Joe Casey and my buddy Paul Mayberry.
Who will also be a Comic Palooza.
He will be a Comic Palooza. Awesome. We'll be talking to him at Comic Palooza, because what better time to interview Paul than when he'll just be hanging out there anyways.
Cool.
I got a Mega Man sketch by him.
Nice.
Yeah.
I have a couple sketches from him.
Huh?
I've got a couple sketches from him, too.
I don't.
Stuff. Then, I mean, Nick Patera's going to be doing a variant cover for that one, too, so that'll be cool.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. And then I also picked Apocalyptic Girl, and this is, it's called an Aria for the New Times, or A-R-I-A is how you
spell it. Aria.
Aria.
It's an operatic thing.
Yeah. And it's a new original graphic novel put out from Andrew McLean. This is the guy that did Headlopper. I don't know if you guys are familiar with those at all. He did a Kickstarter for that. And it's really fantastic stuff. I mean, it's good enough that Mignola did a print for him.
Nice.
You know? So, yeah. But he does some really cool shit. He did the Jubilee sketch I got at Emerald City. And really nice guy. Does some really good work. So I'm really looking forward to reading his graphic novel. You know? And that's my picture for the week.
Cool. You know what? You mentioned Joe Casey, man. Do you guys remember a series called Bad Dog?
Yeah.
Do you? What the fuck happened to that?
I don't know. I think so.
Because I remember it was really good, and it just, it was hit by delays, and I think some of the issues, I mean, I'm not sure if it ever finished, but...
Yeah, I'm not sure if it did or not, you know?
I just remember that being a great fucking series.
Yeah.
Well, there's a volume one on Comixology.
There you go.
And there's six issues, so apparently it did finish.
Nice. Yeah, you know, he's done really good stuff with Paul before, you know? They did Sovereign together.
Yeah.
You know? And worked on...
Sovereign was Joe Casey? I thought Sovereign was somebody else.
No. Joe Casey.
Was it?
I believe so.
I thought that was Roberson.
Oh, wait. You might be right about that. You are right about that.
Joe am Casey I? Did. Oh, wait, nope.
Yeah, I'm
like,
wait a minute.
Am I? I don't know if I am or not. I was right.
Yeah, Chris Roberson.
Okay. Pat yourself on the back.
Anyway, guys, that is wrapping up our show this week. Like I said, though, tomorrow we will be at Comic Palooza, and next week's show will probably be a kind of culmination of all the stuff I'll pull from Comic Palooza. And
in the next couple weeks, might be a few things we pull from Comic Palooza.
Depends on how many people we talk
to. Yeah, we might talk to everybody.
Yeah, we'll try to talk to everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, we may just start sitting down at tables and doing interviews because people are cool.
Exactly.
I mean, fuck the table. I'll just drop my phone down.
You're always sitting at their table anyways.
Probably. But yeah, so if you do see us...
Fat. Can I sit here?
But yeah, if you guys do see us, by all means, please say hello.
It's actually kind of like a rule right now. I like going to conventions where I know people that are going to be there.
Yeah.
Because then after like 6 or 7 hours of walking, I can be like, yo, share that chair.
Share that chair.
I mean, at Emerald City Comic Con, I stole Michael Morrissey's chair like 5 times.
You're not Michael Morrissey.
People would come up and like look at me, and I'd be like, keep walking. This is actually how I met Andrew.
I have art. Do you want some?
Right.
I have things. Corner,
like, what's something? He's like, you're not Joe Weisman. I'm like, no, but you're Andrew Williams.
I was like, how do you know that? My reputation's not that good.
Facebook's been telling me that I know you for months now.
Pretty much.
Like, seriously. Every time you log in, it's like, people you may know. Andrew Williams. For like 3 months. And
she's got like 97 mutual friends. That's how I met Meredith. Me and Meredith like, had like...
He lives here in Houston? Like, what are the fucking odds of this shit?
Not only does he live in Houston, he lives in fucking Stafford?
Right? 5 minutes away? What fucking weird shit.
But no.
You're right. I should know Andrew Williams.
You should, because knowing me is not terrible.
Half the battle?
It is half the battle. But no, so yes, please, if you do see us Comic Palooza, say hello. We'll be there in some capacity, at least for Saturday, Sunday. Probably all 4 days in some capacity, but maybe not all of us at once, but
yeah.
Should be a good time. And like I said, we'll be recording live, and you guys will get to hear the fruit of that labor next week. So thanks, guys. Right. We'll see you then.
Have a good one, folks.
Bah.
Cover your mouth when you yawn at my house.
Bah.